Hello and welcome to Inspiration Today. You probably noticed Barbara and I are in a little different set, and we're bringing to you interviews from programmers who are on the Inspiration Network International. That's our sister network that covers Europe, Africa, North Africa, the Middle East, Israel. And today we've got a very interesting testimony and interview with Pastor Albert Ojulele. He pastors a church called Glory House. He was born in England, educated in Nigeria, is a medical doctor, and aside from being a medical doctor, God has called him to preach the gospel. He's got a great story of how God came to him in a very supernatural way. In fact, he's going to tell a story on the program today about a visitation from an angel. So oftentimes you wonder, are angels real? What do they look like? Do they really get involved in the affairs of our life? Well, Albert's got an interesting story to tell about how an angel came to him and what it meant in his life. Let's go to this interview right now and have him share with us. Pastor Albert Ojulele from Glory House Church in the United Kingdom. Pastor Ojulele, did I get it right?
You did.
Welcome. Well, thanks so much for being with us.
It's an honor and a pleasure to.
I'll call you Albert most of the time.
That works for me.
You know, we have something a little bit in common. You are a medical doctor by profession. Yes, but full-time preacher of the gospel. I went to school to study medicine, and all my life felt like I wanted to be a doctor, until one day God asked me a question that changed my life. He said, what about my kingdom? Mm. And I said, well, what about it? I'm going to be a good doctor. And he kept asking me the same question, what about my kingdom? So I knew what he was after, and he got what he wanted. It sounds like he got what he wanted with you, too.
I wasn't one of those. I wish I could say so. I wasn't one of those willing, want to serve God preachers. I enjoyed the practice of medicine. I really did. And when God said, I want you to drop that and serve me in this capacity, I thought, I'm doing God a big favor. I really did. Well, I've since learned he was the one doing me a big favor. I really, I went into
practicing medicine here in the
UK? No, in Africa.
In Africa.
In Africa.
Where in Africa?
In a teaching hospital in the west of Nigeria, in West Africa.
So is that home for you originally?
Yes, it is. My parents are from Africa. I was born in England, but my parents are Africans, Nigerians. So I'm Nigerian.
You have a very distinct English accent, though.
Yes, but I'm British by birth.
Yes.
So I'm somewhere in between, I guess.
Have you lived here most of your life now?
No, perhaps half and half. It looks like half in Nigeria and half here.
Well, when did God call you from the medical profession to preach the gospel?
I'm a twin, an identical twin. And my twin brother came to England when I started medical school. So he'd been in England 7-8 years. Mm-hmm. When I was through medical school, he said, look, I want you to come to England, just visit. Because after when we were born, 3-4 years old, our parents took us back into Nigeria. Okay. So I was educated in Nigeria most of my life.
Okay.
He said, come on a holiday. So I said, okay, I'll come. And I came with the intention just to visit and go back. I was enjoying the practice of medicine. Even though I was involved in ministry in Nigeria, but part-time, not full-time, came and I heard an audible voice at Heathrow Airport. Mm. Now, most of the photographs we had were in black and white. So, for some reason, I viewed England in black and white. Okay. So when I got to Heathrow, I'm looking around like, gosh, everything's in color. I had an audible voice. This is where you should be. This is where I want to use you.
Mm.
That didn't go down well with me, so I had a short holiday and went straight back to Nigeria. But after about a year, I rebuked the devil too. But about a year later, I just couldn't get it out of my spirit. I knew that was God. So I came back to England with the intention of furthering my postgraduate in medicine. But God would just not have it. So eventually I ended up here.
You surrendered.
I did.
You said, I give in.
I did, and I've not regretted it since.
Yeah. So how long have you been pastoring here?
In England, the church I pastor started 14 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, Glory House.
Yeah. Now, Glory House, in your ministry, you just sponsored and organized and put on a great event here in the UK. And by the time people are seeing this program at home, it's obviously already happened, but was the first global day of prayer that I know of here in the UK. Tell us a little bit about that.
We have a pastor in our church. He came from a Muslim background. His name is Jonathan. Mm-hmm. Pastor Jonathan, lovely. He's a medical doctor as well.
Oh my goodness.
And he walked up to me a while back and said, you know what, Pastor, I have a vision. The first time, he's Nigerian as well, but he's British birth. And he walked up to me and said, Pastor, I have a vision that we should have a global day, we should take part in the global day of prayer phenomena and do something significant in Britain. Now, that had to be God, because first, it never happened before. And secondly, there was just no telling who would finance it, how it would get done, how people would respond, would people come together. Mm. But he said, Pastor, I just want to do it. I said, we'll pray with you, we'll get behind you, we'll do it. So he did a whole lot of footwork and so on. And it was amazing. At West Ham Stadium, the place was packed out with tens of thousands mm-hmm. of Christians. Yeah. It was so touching for me, because I sat down somewhere in the stadium and I saw white brothers and sisters and black brothers and sisters and Latino brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. Africans, West Indians, Pentecostal, charismatic, evangelical, Catholic, Baptist, Methodist,
all
no makeup, put on a hat, don't put on a hat, the whole spectrum of the Christian faith, lifting up holy hands mm-hmm. and saying, God save our nation. It brought everybody to tears. Mm-hmm. It was really awesome.
Yeah, that's what it we really need. Was. We need God to step in and intervene. And he responds to the prayers of his people.
Yes. And you know the interesting thing? It rained that day. And people were saying, God, we don't want it to rain. And I said, in Africa, when it doesn't rain, it's considered that the heavens are closed. When it rains, it means the heavens are open. And I said, this is just a physical sign to say God is opening up the heavens
Amen.
Over our nation.
Amen. That's good.
That's powerful.
Yes.
You know, when God's people can just set aside their differences mm-hmm. and come together as his body, as one, there's such power in unity.
Yeah.
Great mm-hmm. power in unity, mm-hmm. and to pray for God to send revival and for him to step in and intervene in the circumstances of this country and the world.
Yeah.
It's what we need. We need God's people around the world
That's
to begin
right.
to pray and intercede for God to send revival.
Yes, yes. Yeah. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. If we may not share the same theological positions on everything, but we all agree that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
We all agree he rose on the third day. I think that's enough to work with.
I agree.
Yes. Pastor Albert, tell me, is there a primary message right now God is speaking through you to your church, to the people of Great Britain in this land here? Is there a message he's put on your heart for the people today that you're delivering?
Yes, quite a few. You got a lot of tape, do you?
Yeah, sure.
I think, for example, in 2005, December, I was on a flight from Dallas to London. I had spent some time with my pastor in Dallas, and I was flying back. It's a 9-hour flight. 15-20 minutes into the flight, I wasn't fasting or anything like that. I shut my eyes thinking, oh dear, I haven't bought Christmas presents for my wife and my kids. When I shut my eyes, but I wasn't sleeping, an unusual presence of God came into the cabin of the plane. It was sudden and strong. It was so sudden, I instinctively opened up my eyes. I had reclined my seat slightly. And right in front of me was an angel standing. I've actually written a book on it called Eternity Unveiled. The angel looked down at me and said, it's time to go. 5 words. I knew instantly what it was saying. And I replied instinctively in 5 words, but I'm not ready. I'm healthy, I'm fit, believe me, I could run around this block a number of times. And I don't have any sicknesses. I wasn't planning to die.
So you took it as when he said it's time to go.
Oh, yes. I knew that's what it meant. It's time to go. So I said, I'm not ready. And the angel said, it's not for you to determine when it's time. It's for the one who sent me to determine it. And reached down and grabbed my hand and pulled me out of the seat. When he pulled me out of the seat, I came out of the seat and looked back. And my physical frame was still on the seat of the plane.
Wow.
I lie not to you. And took me through a tunnel on a journey. Initially, I was thinking, what's going to happen to my wife? What's going to happen to my kids? This isn't the plan. I'm dying. I looked at everybody in the cabin of the plane. It was a BA flight. And then after a while, we went into a tunnel and were drifting away. And my parents, my children, my wife, paled out of my consciousness. And all I could hear is assignment. Assignment. You are going to give an account to God about your assignment. I have awards. I have degrees. I have a television ministry around the world. I have a huge church. All of those things didn't count any longer. Clothes, cars, jewelry. It was assignment. I came up against a membrane and I knew it was a point of no return, and I'm really summarizing this. And I came through the membrane. Something happened to me. I wouldn't wish for my worst enemy. I bent down and saw eternity in front of me. And I can't describe it. There aren't the words to do so. I looked back and I looked at time. And time had shrunk into an infinitesimal, minuscule, minute, incomparable comparison to the expanse of eternity. And I'm a pastor. I knelt down in agony of soul. I travailed in my soul. Because I realized for the first time in my life, or should I say in death, that time is an opportunity to invest in eternity.
Wow.
And in a flash, I saw the opportunities I had let slip. Opportunities to preach, opportunities to pray, opportunities to get there, and I'm a pastor. And something in my heart in that moment started screaming out, if only I could have 3 more days to serve you.
Wow.
Give me 3 more days.
Wow.
Not to be with my wife, not to be with my kids, much as I love them, not to drive a car or fly in a first-class cabin, just 3 more days to serve God. When all of a sudden, I was yanked from behind, back through the membrane, back through the tunnel, into the cabin of the plane. When I got into the cabin of the plane, my body, physical frame, was still in exactly the same position it was. And then the angel pushed me. I convulsed, wept like a baby. And it was like I understood what happens when babies are born. When I opened my eyes and sat up, I was crying like a baby. The air smelled good. I couldn't close my eyes for fear that it would happen again. I was confused in my mind. What happened? Did this really happen? Was that a bad dream? All of that was going on when suddenly the angel showed up again.
Now what?
And said, if I don't explain to you what's just happened, you would write off. Sat in front of me in a first class cabin in BA, there's a seat in front of you. If you have a guest, can sit on it. Sat there for about 6-7 hours, engaged me in a conversation about the things to come. Your question is a profound question. And started talking to me about the next move of God. Started talking to me about what God is about to do. And then the next thing I heard, it's like time stood still. I didn't realize we were in that conversation so long. The next thing I heard was, put on your seatbelts, it's time to land. The angel then said, as a sign to you that this really happened, before the end of the year, now this was the 23rd of December 2005. Before the end of the year, not many people will make it. When that happens, you will remember that this was a visitation and a message for your generation and left. Now, when I got home, my wife was at the door. She said, you need to talk to your 9-year-old son. I said, is he okay? She said, yes, but last night something happened. Overnight, when I was in the air, he had gone to bed and an angel had come to his room. It's all documented in a book. The angel said, I want to take you on a journey. Took him to heaven, took him to hell, and then said to him, where do you want to go? He said, I want to go where I see my dad, my mom, and my sister. The angel said, serve God with all of your heart, and disappeared. He got up about 3, 4 a.m., ran to our bedroom, and woke my wife up and said, Mom, I want to be born again. My wife said, but you're already born again. He said, Mom, you don't understand. I want to be born again. That happened at the same time I was having the experience on the plane. The Sunday, the 26th of December, Boxing Day 2005, I was preaching in my church. I still couldn't tell anybody what had happened. Trying to make sense of it. I said, but an angel told me on my flight in yesterday or day before, serve God. Not many people will make it. As I was talking, tectonic plates moved along the coast of Southeast Asia, and hundreds of thousands of people died. And for days I wept because I remembered what the angel had told me. There is a shift in the spirit. I sincerely believe there is a call by God for those of us that know Him to serve Him. We must rescue a divine move from the dangers of carnal considerations and to embrace things that don't matter and pay a price in losing out on the things that really do matter. One of the things the angel showed me is, he said, the things you think matter don't matter. He said, what you think matters doesn't matter. He said, it doesn't matter. He said, you've got to find out what matters and apprehend that for which you were apprehended. Because in all of it, time is so transient in comparison to eternity. If I was to say anything to anybody anywhere in the world, I would say to them, find what God called you to do. Do it. The angel flipped up a bunch of dollar notes. I don't know why it was dollars, because I'm British. I would expect it to be pounds, but it was dollars. Brand new $100 notes. I've never seen this or read this before in my life. Flipped. I wish I could say it was original to me. It wasn't. Flipped them before me and said, what are these? I said, $100 bills. He said, if I gave them to you now to spend, would they be valid? I said, if they're original notes, yes, they would be valid. Then he pulled out a tattered, old, battered $100 bill and said, what about this? I said, what's, he said, what's this? I said, it's a $100 bill. He said, which one has more bargaining power, the new bill or the tattered bill? I said, they have the same bargaining power. He said, son, whether you're in the mountain or in the valley, whether you're sick or healthy, rich or poor, 24 hours are transaction dollars for your assignment. Do what you need to do, whatever the price. I've never seen it like that before. He said, the greatest debt we can owe is not money, it's time. Because everybody's given a certain amount of time to fulfill their assignment in life. Tell my people to do what they must do. For the kingdom suffers from people who believe, I'll do it tomorrow. What can be done today?
You'll have to send me a copy of that book.
Yes.
I'll do so.
I would love to read that.
I'll do so. I've had it there. I'm having it translated into Portuguese, Spanish, French. When I wrote the book, I had no idea the impact it would have. I've had people crying. I was in Benin, in Cameroon recently. And I had people wailing and crying and sobbing and rededicating their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because every opportunity I have, I say to people, listen, it's good to have a good suit, it's good to have an expensive tie, it's good to have a Rolex wristwatch, but believe me, it doesn't count where it really matters.
No. You're right.
No. I'd gladly send you a couple.
Yes. Yes.
Reminds me of an old song. I don't know if it's sung here in Great Britain or not, but it says, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. And what a powerful word that you shared with the people at home today.
Thank you. I could go on forever about it. I said, God, I had no idea why I said 3 days, but I said, God, give me 3 days just to serve you and love you and fulfill my assignment. And I believe we must live in a constant remembrance. Mm-hmm. Jesus kept on saying, I have come according as it is written in the volume of the books concerning me, to do your will.
Yes.
It's not what impresses people that matters. Mm-hmm. It's not sitting on the platform in the right places and having your names labeled in the right places. It's how does heaven consider? Can I take a minute? The angel said, the pain of heaven is like a father who gives his son $100 to go buy groceries for the house, food for the hungry, clothes for the naked, giftings for the body, teachers for those that need instruction. They go to the supermarket instead of buying what they were given currency for. They buy things for themselves. Mm. And so those who it was given for suffer because of it. And God said, I hold things like that in quite serious perspective in heaven. Mm. I think there's a call to consecration.
Yes.
To serve God passionately.
Yes.
To see beyond the mundane and pursue the things that are of great value.
Albert, thank you for coming and being with us today and sharing that word. And maybe we'll get you to come to America sometime and be with us in Charlotte on the program as well.
I'd love to. It would be an honor.
I know you travel to the States, so we're here in London with you today. Maybe next time you can come to Charlotte.
I'd gladly do so. Anything for the kingdom of God, I've come to realize that.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, as we close this part of the program today, I'm reminded not also of the first part of that song that says, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. But the last part of that song says, so give to Jesus all your days, give to him all your ways, because we have only one life. You have only one life. Give it to him in service, because that's the life that counts. It'll count in eternity where it really matters. We'll be right back.
David Cirillo.